Hey there, ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities. From the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front room. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
At State Farm, we're committed to uplifting Black futures. In collaboration with organizations like 100 Black Men and National Urban League, State Farm provides high school students with the opportunity to learn and apply best practice strategies for saving and investing, all while offering academic support, life skills, and exposure to college access programs to prepare these students for life after high school. Check out 100blackmen.org and nul.org to donate and learn more. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
There's no purpose in teaching anybody who don't really want to learn, who really don't want to get to it. Everybody want to play entrepreneur. They don't want the sacrifice that come with this shit.
True. Late nights, early mornings.
You're going to lose friends, lose girlfriends. Family going to call you crazy, not going to believe in you. Then you make it, and then everybody going to be like, I'm proud of you. Let me get some money.
What I've realized that wealthy people understand, and people in general, is the small concepts that you can apply to get wealthy. You don't got to be super smart and got to know all the intricacies of real estate or taxes or e-commerce or whatever, trucking, whatever it is.
It's good if you want to be rich in that business, but you don't need to know that.
You don't need to know everything. You just need to know small, basic concepts. Mm-hmm. And one of the smallest basic concepts that anybody can understand is get money, buy income. Get money, buy more money.
I woke up feeling wealthy today. My bank account might not agree, but hey, that shit on the way. Me and my niggas laying brick on top of brick till we straight. If you the type that play the victim, you can't come in my space. You know this game ain't for the weak, it's hard to carry this weight. I keep my balance through the ups and downs, I'm never gonna break. You feel the purpose in my spirit when you look in my face. Cause this ain't a second, I can waste some good food on plate.
Was I with the wealthy people? It's your boy David Bellard, and you are now tapped into your favorite show, the Black Wealth Renaissance Podcast. I'm here with my brother Jalen Clark. Jalen, how you living, dog?
What's up with it, y'all? It's your boy Jalen, man. Welcome to the greatest show on earth. I'm living great, man. Finally not hot as shit in Texas. We kind of got, you know, a little cold, cool, man. Off. Yeah. Yeah, so I'm amazing, dog. And I'm happy we got one of my favorite people.
Dallas legend.
We've been waiting to get on
Dallas,
this one.
But he a legend.
Yeah. He from H-Town, but you know. You know what to do. Yeah. I'll let you do
okay,
the introduction,
man.
All right, brother.
So,
introduction master.
Hey, man. Look, man. I just got to say just a few words. This man really is, like, we get people out here that's doing the damn thing. And he is doing the damn thing and has been doing it well for over a decade out here in Dallas. Started out in the South Dallas area, buying property when nobody wanted to buy the shit. And now he's turned it into
a multi-million dollar
real estate development empire. He has projects where he's letting our people get in on the ground level to start owning things. And we have none other than Mr. Scotty Smith. How you doing, Scotty?
What's up, man? That's a good introduction,
man. That's what I'm saying. That's a good introduction, man.
Thank you. We're gonna have to go on the road with that one.
I try.
That's a good one, man. Appreciate y'all having me on the show, man. It's exciting, man. Love what y'all building here. Love what y'all doing. I'm here to talk, man.
And let's get it, man.
Appreciate it.
Hey, I definitely appreciate you coming on. This is something that's long overdue. I think we connected with you almost 2 years ago now.
Yeah, boy. We was doing Andre's podcast.
That's how
you came through.
That's
a
fact. And I was like, wait a minute. How the hell we don't know this man?
Yeah.
But I always say it's perfect timing. Mm-hmm. We don't ever rush it. It's always great. Like, you have a lot of great things going on. I know I did give you an introduction.
Yeah.
But to just get things started, man, I'd love for you to give an audience an introduction to yourself.
Yeah, man. 15-year veteran, almost two decades in the real
estate
business.
Let them know. Talk to them.
Been doing this all of my adult life, really, since I could pay my bills on my own. This is what I've been focused on and helping to rebuild the community, be it on the real estate broker side, then got into the real estate development side. So for the most part, man, all things real estate. So buy, sell, rent, invest, all things real estate. And, you know, really I live by the mantra of, you know, my goal is really simple, and it's to help people. And I just use real estate as that vehicle to do so. And so right now, really heavily focused on helping people to build wealth in real estate, helping people to create and leave legacy using real estate, and doing legacy projects within real estate that ultimately, you know, are something that our people can come back to and say, dang, we were a part of that. We were involved in the development of that in some capacity. So that's what's been going on, man. So it's been a great ride so far. And I know a lot of people be saying this, but man, this is really only the beginning. It's crazy. So
I love it, and I love to see what you're doing. And I know we've had some conversations off camera before. I know you got your start whenever you were like in college, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like you said, since you could pay your own bills, and that shit just really like inspired me. It's like, damn, you had this foresight while you was in undergrad.
Yeah.
Can you talk about, you know, what got you started in real estate in college and how you got your start?
Yeah, no. So I love telling this story, man, because a lot of times people be like, man, you know, my background or where I'm from or family's not this or family doesn't have that. I didn't grow up with a silver spoon. Neither did I, man. I have so many siblings, man. It's ridiculous. I tell people a lot of times, man, my parents didn't have cable growing up or TV for that matter. So we played outside a lot and they made babies a lot. So it was a lot of us. And so I came up here to North Texas, University of North Texas, originally to play football. So I was a preferred walk-on. I walked on, and then I walked back off, took my talents to the College of Business.
I understand, my brother.
And so went to the College of Business, thought I was going to be an accountant, enrolled into this intro to real estate class. Professor John Bain walks into the class and says, if you don't own real estate by the end of this semester, you ain't learn shit and I ain't teach you shit. And I'm like, what the hell?
I ain't never had no professor talk
right
to me,
you know,
like that.
And it was a very real conversation, because I'm like, on the one hand, I'm really just trying to make A's. You know what I'm saying? Like, is that part of like the grand assignment? Am I going to make a F if I don't get that?
Mm-hmm.
And so just, you know, taking the, you know, the laughter in it, and I'm like, yo, if I go home right now, like, I still got a curfew, and you talk about I need to
go
own some shit by the end of this semester. And so, you know, but that class showed me, and it opened up just a world of knowledge that I just wasn't privy to, that I didn't know about. I think the greatest part of that class was the gentleman brought his tax returns to class, and we talked about, you know, multimillionaire, he's just teaching on the college level, I think, just for the love of the sport, you know, love of teaching, not because he had to, but his tax returns were so crazy. I'm like, what is that? What is this? How are you? Real estate. I'm like, damn, this is wild. So I changed my major from accounting to finance with a minor in real estate. Didn't buy a property by the end of that semester, but the next semester I got a pretty good size scholarship from the College of Business. Took that scholarship money, bought a house not far from campus in what's called Southeast Denton. Bought that house and did what people know now as house hacking. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so at the age of 19, I rented out two rooms to my close friends. And shit, man, it was just up from there. And shit, I got bit by the bug. And, you know, within 2 years, I had bought two more houses. You know, so I'm 2021
still
in college,
undergrad,
you know, shit.
Owning more houses than your professors.
Owning more houses than my professors, owning more houses than my parents, you know. So it was a very game-changing, legacy-changing generational curse breaking situation for me. And so while a lot of my friends were taking their refund checks and, you know, buying shoes and cars and all that type of shit, I was buying real estate.
That's hard.
And I remember a deal that I got, and it was this Sue Axtell. She was my agent in college. And I remember it was a deal I just wrote her name on, and she didn't even know that she was getting a commission check. She was like, wait, what is this for? Next time tell me, you know, that I'm going to get paid, I will work for you. I'm like, nah, you helped me get into my first one. You good. This is just a, you know, I'm really changing my entire family's life. Mm-hmm. With just, you know, the thing.
You have gave her that 3% still?
Yeah. Okay. You know, because, I mean, it wasn't coming out of my pocket. The seller was paying it. So somebody had to get it. So ultimately, man, I just took those experiences and those transactions. It's just been unraveling ever since. It's just gotten out of control. But it's very strategic in the way that I've kind of progressed throughout my real estate career. Shit, man. Started a brokerage, featured in, you know, Black Enterprise on BET, featured in Forbes, 30 under 30. I've really just taken this thing by the horns, and quiet as it's kept, became one of the most influential real estate professionals.
Hey there. Ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah. Or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again, because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front room. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
In Dallas. And I don't say that lightly, because you know, when I started doing development in South Dallas, I was telling everybody, like, yo, come on, like, be a part of this movement now while land is still cheap. And it's because I knew what I was about to do. Mm-hmm. Right? I knew what I was going to do. I knew I was going to start building on these lots that I owned. I had a critical mass, a lot of properties. So I'm like, I'm about to start building. Naturally, when you build stuff new, prices going to increase.
At State Farm, we're committed to uplifting Black futures. In collaboration with organizations like 100 Black Men and National Urban League, State Farm provides high school students with the opportunity to learn and apply best practice strategies for saving and investing, all while offering academic support, life skills, and exposure to college access programs to prepare these students for life after high school. Check out 100blackmen.org and nul.org to donate and learn more. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
And that's exactly what they did. And so people have started buying properties years after I said it. And now it's, you know, even the mayor had this whole grow south thing. And it's like, yeah, it's what I've been saying, you know, grow south, move south. And shoot, now everybody's in South Dallas. I say everybody, but there's a good portion of development going on in South Dallas. People buying land for $60,000, begging me to sell them a deal. I'm like, nah, bro.
So whenever you were starting with this movement, Scotty, I just want to get people like in a, how much were the lots whenever you were first starting to buy, and like what time frame was that?
So this was 2015, 2016. Really, lots were $500, $1,000, $1,200. I think I bought my most expensive lot was $12,000, and I bought that owner finance. I was like, no, I give you some money down, and you carry the note. You know,
you become the bank,
and this was, right, and you become the bank. So
this was only 7 years ago.
It was only 7 years ago,
and man. Now they got people buying lots in the same area for $60,000.
$60,000. There's
the land.
So my house. So I actually built over there. Built my house for my family. The lot that my house is on cost me $7,500. Literally, I want to say 10 lots over, not blocks, but 10 lots over, There's one that just hit the market not too long ago for $100,000.
Damn.
$100,000.
Just was the land.
Just not, the land.
How big we talking? Like,
we talking 50 by 150. So that's a 7,500 square foot lot. So we talking about,
damn,
we talking about money. Like, that's a lot of dollars per square foot for just the dirt. And so I was telling people, y'all need to come on. I remember somebody said, why? Why South Dallas? I said, bro, because land is, it's impossible for land to get any cheaper. Mm-hmm. It's impossible. Like, I can't, I mean, at this, like, they're going to give it away? I don't know. It just doesn't make sense. But this is the only area of the city that's left to be developed. Like, it's just not going to be $500 for
forever.
Forever. It's just, yeah. I mean, shit, we spend that at the club. You know what I mean? Take that. Let's go get this land and we'll catch the club on the next paycheck. You know what I'm saying?
Because Dallas is a section city, dog.
It is, man.
You gotta buy a section.
Ain't no dance floor.
Then you gotta buy a bottle.
Yeah,
ain't minimum of $150 to $200.
They got no dance floor.
Ain't no dance floor. You got couches, baby. You sit down. but that's what, you know, just 7 short years ago, man. It was there for the taking. But shit, man, I'm happy I did what I did.
So how many lots would you say you acquired in them 7 years?
Oh, man. I think, so right now I have 48 lots. And I just updated that because I just closed on one. So 48 lots. I've sold 60, you mm-hmm. know, that my partner and I have built. So we probably, well, damn. Yeah, we 100 lots. At one point. And so it's,
so I definitely understand.
We wanted to buy more. Yeah. Like, we wanted to, we literally want to buy more. So the goal was to get a group of people to each invest a specific amount of money, because we wanted to buy like 100 to 200 lots. And we talk $1,000, $500, $1,800. Lots was cheap.
Mm-hmm.
If we could have convinced more people to be a part of this, what would have happened is 7 years later, lots of $60,000.
Times 100.
What type of ROI is that, man?
My calculator can't even do it fast enough. But we're talking about, at a minimum, we'll say, just conservatively speaking, that we sell the whole portfolio for $50,000 a lot. That's 100 lots, 200 lots. What's that? You know, that's between $5 million and $10 million.
On a initial investment, if we bought them off for $1,000, on average $1,500.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
It's great money. It not just great, phenomenal dollars. Like, but shit, man, I still encourage it because I don't think we're still. I don't think we're at the tip of this point. Still,
mm-hmm.
we're still undeveloped. We're still underdeveloped, mm-hmm. and it's still opportunity for people. I'm about to buy 24 lots right now. In a small subdivision for under $600,000, under $550,000, if this dude agrees to this last little change. But
is this in South Dallas?
This
too?
In South Dallas.
So,
jeez.
Scotty, I gotta ask, right? So I know you started off in college. You bought a few different properties there. Mm-hmm. And you've been doing real estate your whole life. What was the next step for you? Did you get your license?
Yeah. So I got my real estate license actually when the market went to hell in a handbasket. So okay. when the Great Recession happened, when all the agents was getting out, I got in. So I got licensed. And I was really just helping my friends on campus find apartments and rental houses off campus so cops wouldn't shut our parties down. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So that's really where it started. And really accidentally started growing a real estate brokerage firm. Because, I mean, you know, my whole deal was I want to be an investor. I want to make certain that I teach people how to do this. And, mm-hmm. you know, so I just took my knowledge on the real estate investment side, applied it to the brokerage side to help people buy their homes like investors buy.
Under market value.
Yeah. So that's what, you know, shit. Our average price point at one point was under $200,000. And we were doing 150 to 200 transactions a year as a brokerage.
Sheesh.
And so, you know, we were taking a lot of swings, you know, at the ball, but we were helping a lot of people. And, mm-hmm. you know, I think I've had in my entire career, I've probably had 10 non-black clients. And so I'm very specific about that because there's, you know, real estate brokerage and the real estate industry is heavily dominated by white women. And that's just the demographics. I'm not making it up. It's dominated by white women. And naturally, they're salespeople. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. Your salespeople is a real estate sales license. So I took the advisor approach and I said, all right, let me advise people on how to do this right properly. And properly
to help them build wealth.
Right. And so that's what is. I don't know any of my clients who've ever foreclosed on a property. I don't know any of my clients that have ever, you know, lost a house or any of those types of things. But, you know, I take pride in that.
So how do you, what you mean you accidentally built a brokerage? How you accidentally build a brokerage?
Because that wasn't really my plan. That wasn't my plan of action. I wasn't trying to go in. Like I had no big vision for having like the number one real estate brokerage company in the country. Like that wasn't it. I wanted to just.
So you weren't under another person. Like you started off independently.
So yeah. So I started with, when I got my license, my professor actually held my license because you had to have a broker hold your license. And then I had
the same one who got you in the game.
Same one who got me in the game.
Damn, that's a hell of a professor.
Yeah, he dope, man. He dope.
I wish my dad professor would have did some shit like that.
And then I actually, a really close friend and mentor of mine named Aaron Ramsire, he started a company called Units of America. And that was specifically for real estate investment advisors. So that's what it was. Yeah.
That's dope.
And I just said, you know, I looked at him. I said, hey, man, let me start the residential side. He was like, nah, I only want to do multifamily investments, which we were doing. I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to just go off and really focus on this single family stuff. And that's like, all right, here I am. And so it just happenstance. And it's an interesting story, man, on how we get to this point. So
awesome. So now I kind of want to go into after buying the land, right? You start and go into the development side of things. So we had Derek Johnson on here recently. He was telling us like how whenever one of his first land deals, he didn't have to come out of pocket for it. He basically got the plans drawn up, was able to go to the bank, show them, hey, look, this is what I plan to do with the property. Mm-hmm. And he was able to get financing and build on that property. So I was wondering if you could like kind of walk us through that first build process.
Yeah, so I'm not certain what bank he used with that. And so I'll be honest, banks will finance 100% of your build and a good percent of your land purchase. They say they will, right? But what they don't tell you is that you have to have some capital because we're only going to give you the money in draws.
Okay.
We're not going to just write you a check and say, bam, here's $100,000, $200,000 in your account. Go build. And we hope to get that collateral. I mean, you know, get the collateral.
That's
back.
Bad risk management from a bank standpoint.
Right, from a bank perspective. And so they expect for you to have a plan, you know, have your plans drawn, have this. And then they expect for you to get to a certain point. Then they request a draw, and then they come and inspect it. Then they release that portion. And gotcha. So a lot of times in a development aspect, a lot of people want to get into this space, as they should, because if you look around any city anywhere in the world, what you see there is the creation of a developer.
With every monthly bill, like rent and car payments, you know exactly what you're getting when you pay for it. But health insurance plans feel like the total opposite. They're confusing and expensive. Then when you actually have to use your benefits, there are deductibles, claims, processes, and other red tape to deal with. But CrowdHealth puts you back in control of your healthcare. CrowdHealth is simple, transparent, and affordable. As a member, you'll get a personal care advocate who is with you every step of the way to help navigate the complexities of health events. They'll even negotiate bills on your behalf and could save you thousands of dollars in the process. Plus, you'll get access to thousands of other members who are ready to help pay for large health expenses. Experience healthcare freedom with CrowdHealth. Visit joincrowdhealth.com and use code HEALTH to get your first 3 months for just $99 per month. That's joincrowdhealth.com, code HEALTH. CrowdHealth is not health insurance. It's a totally different way of paying for healthcare. Terms and conditions may apply.
Period. Because the developer had a plan, he had a vision, he put it down, he got the team together to draw it up and sketch it up from his mind, and then he hired the people to execute it for him. So everything around here from a land perspective comes from a developer.
Mm-hmm. Who the fuck developed these damn highways in Texas?
Right, 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 right. Infrastructure developers and the government. They fucking trash. So yeah. But so yes, you can get 100% financing, but yes, you also do need at least a little bit of capital to mm-hmm. get you from draw to draw. Got a little you. Bit of cash to get you from, you know, in between. And that's just cash flow management, right? And you can do that on, you know, I know a lot of people have been talking about how to leverage your credit and your credit mm-hmm. cards. That's one way to do it, you know what I mean? Because you can pay your contractors with your car, you can pay for material, bank comes out, sees that you got the shit up.
You can reimburse
yourself. And they reimburse you. You pay off your credit card, you know, get your points. So that type of shit.
Kind of like rinse and repeat the process.
Exactly.
So, okay, I'm just making sure I'm following you here. So, like, I get a piece of land. I go to the bank. I got, okay, look, this is my plans. Mm-hmm. Okay, they're going to tell you, okay, start doing it.
Yeah.
And they give you, like, some benchmarks, almost like, okay, well, you got to get the foundation and the... Yeah. The plumbing type stuff laid yeah. out, and then we'll give you a draw.
A lot of times you tell them what that's going to look like.
Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. So you'll say, okay, I'm going to get to this portion. You know, I'm going to request 7 draws throughout this whole process.
Okay.
So at each point is this is what I'm have done. I'm going to have this done and this done and this done. And they'll say, okay, cool. They have your paperwork. Come out, look at it. It'll come up. All right, bet I approve it or I approve everything except this. And they'll wire you what it is that you're requesting. And so in the development, specifically in just like single family development, single family ground up building, it's important to have a good relationship with the lender mm-hmm. who has an understanding of, you know, what's going on. Shit, man. I'm using a lender now on a property that we're doing. They came out yesterday morning, did a draw inspection. Yesterday evening, the money was in my account. And so those are the types that's of lenders good. That you want because, shit, I can get somebody to come out here and do the work. I have the material on, and shit, if the lender comes out the next day, I got money by the, you know, 2 days later to pay my guys. So, but again, I've grown this, you know, over the past few years, this relationship with these banks to show that I have a solid track record and I know what I'm doing and I'm pretty good at it. This development business, once you understand the process, you learn the process, it's so much money to be made, like $70,000 to $100,000 on you know per okay,
yeah I was going to ask, so can you talk through like those numbers, because like is it similar to like flipping almost, or is it even better because you don't have to buy the whole property at once?
Right, so I like ground up development better. Here's why: because I know what's behind the walls, right? Mm-hmm. Because I put it there. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? When you're doing flips, there's a lot of risk associated with shit, man. I hope, you know, when I fix this foundation that I don't crack the pipes or that, you know, that I don't mess up anything in the walls. So for me, I like to do that because I know where everything is. I know where it goes because I'm on site with my builder knowing exactly where things are supposed to be. And I, you know, behind the sheetrock, all that shit I put there. So I know where, you know.
I ain't got no faulty wire. Right.
I don't have no faulty wires. I ain't
go over here gambling, hoping that the pipes don't bust in the winter this time.
Nah. And so if you do it right, man, you can make way more than you will on the flipping. So, and then I also, on every one of my deals, I put a developer fee in there. It might be a small $10,000-$15,000 developer fee, but that's on top of my profit. That might be money to, you know, hold me over until the project is complete. Whatever the case may be, but I always have a small.
So that's included in the draw payments mm-hmm. as well?
Yep.
That's smart. That's smart as hell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I got a question. I've seen some of the homes that you built. Where are you getting your inspiration for some of these homes, especially in the South Dallas area?
Man, you know, a guy from Houston actually designed my first property, and it was a partnership between another guy here in the city, and he was like, hey, man, I got these plans. I was like, damn, I really do like these, you know? Let's build them. I own a bunch of property. He was like, all right, bet. Who designed these? Guy down in Houston. Man, I wish that relationship had been a little bit better. Mm-hmm. Egos got in the way. It was just like, bro, you just the designer, bro. Like, we put up all this money, my man. Like, just be cool.
So he felt some way about y'all building the design?
I think he felt some type of way about us building it multiple times. And you know, with architects, they have this copyright deal, right? Mm. And most reasonable architects, if you're building something multiple times and they don't have to change anything, they might charge you just kind of a small residual fee.
Almost like a royalty type shit. Exactly. They didn't have to recreate a whole plan.
They didn't have to recreate it. They may have had to change the
small tweaks.
No, just change the address on the plans.
So they got to put, every time they draft, they got to put this particular address. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So it's specifically, so when you turn it in to the city for permits, it shows that.
Okay, yeah. So I wanted to ask you that part. I'm glad we kind of went
to that.
That's
why I asked this question.
So like, yeah, the city. So when it comes to the development process, what role does the city play in that? And like, how does that whole thing work? Like, who do you have to go talk to?
Yeah.
All that stuff.
So it's interesting. So while we think we own our land and, you know, can do whatever it is we want on a land, there's laws that are associated called zoning, right? And so you got to make certain the property is zoned for what you want to do. And so that's the role of the city. They come in and they give you a permit that says what you're trying to build is in fact okay to build. It fits the zoning requirements. You meet all the setback requirements, how you can build it. Here's the permit. Now, that process in the city of Dallas has, you know, increased from a day to shit 3 months. And so the city's holding up projects these days, you know, where we would have been damn near finished with projects, you know, in that 3 months. So their responsibility is to ensure that the neighborhoods in fact are meeting the standard requirements that's outlined in the zoning ordinance. It's some boring shit, I'll be honest. You know, they should be able to do this shit a little bit faster, but at the end of the day, you got to deal with them. And so on every deal, it's almost like the city is your partner on the front end, because they tell you what happens or if you can make something happen or if you can do what you want to do. So they play a vital role in any development, man. And so you got to make friends with them even if you don't want to.
So even with like the structure, like if you want to come and bring in something that's totally different, can they say, nah, that don't kind of fit the neighborhood, like the design aspects and stuff like that?
So unless it's like a historic district or something like that, they can't tell you no.
Okay.
Right. Unless it doesn't meet the requirements of the city. Like you can build something that they think is ugly, but if it meets the height restriction, if it has the proper land coverage ratio, it has a setback requirements, we don't care what their opinion is. You know what I mean? But some areas do have design standards if mm-hmm. it's like historic. Mm-hmm. So I thought I was going to build something like I normally do, the modern contemporary, in an area that I didn't recognize was a historic district, because it was, shit, it was run down, dilapidated. And I'm like, this can't be no historic district. And they was like, nah, you can't build this, my boy. I'm like, why not?
Well, everything over here looking all fucked up. Right, I'm trying to make it look better.
Yes, and they were like, well, you got to go read this. And it was a whole long historic bullshit. And I'm just like, damn, okay, well. So, had to revamp the plan. So something totally different.
So when it's a historic type district, you have to use certain materials or anything like. How does that work?
Yeah, you do. So a lot of times they want you to use real wood siding. They want you to use real wood windows. You might have to have like a real wood door. And so it can make your project not work. Because if you got a house that has 20 windows, like that's the difference between $2,000 or $2,500 on some regular vinyl windows and $20,000. For wood windows.
Jesus.
So if I can't sell a house, you know, for $550,000-$600,000, putting $20,000 windows on there just because the historic district say you got to put wood windows and shit, that ain't gonna work. So having to fight the city, like, yo, look, economically it's not feasible because I can't sell this. I probably could just because the market was shifting, but I'm like, I don't want to be the guy to come in and sell $600,000 house first on a street where everything's falling down. Mm-hmm. Could I sell it? Yeah. It'd probably be, you
take
know,
a longer turnaround time type stuff.
Shit, so.
So you mentioned that you focus on modern contemporary.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? Like what is modern contemporary? Is that like the houses that's kind of like more the vertical style?
Yeah. So modern contemporary, you're looking at straight lines, right? And you got straight line features, large windows, open spaces.
At State Farm, we're committed to uplifting Black futures. In collaboration with organizations like 100 Black Men and National Urban League, State Farm provides high school students with the opportunity to learn and apply best practice strategies for saving and investing, all while offering academic support, life skills, and exposure to college access programs to prepare these students for life after high school. Check out 100blackmen.org and nul.org to donate and learn more. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
You know, some modern flair with the interior finish outs. My house has a front-facing balcony. You know what I mean? So I have a second story front-facing balcony in an area where, you know, typically craftsmen and, you know, other traditional style homes, kind of your historic looking homes.
So you say historic look, we talking like the...
Yeah, the one you used to draw, you know, one you used to draw as a kid, you know, a house, right?
Yeah.
So we may go with a flat roof, a metal roof, or, you know, a smaller pitch roof where it's not like your angle, you know, it might be a little flatter. You know, we might throw some solar panels on the deal, you know, just for energy efficiency. You know, I got a 3,000 square foot house. My electricity bill is $95. So I got solar panels. You know what I mean? So those types of things, right? Ultimately, man, my goal is to make certain that I build unique, affordable properties.
Mm-hmm.
And affordability is a spectrum, right? You know, there's debates all over the world about what affordable housing is, and not going to dive into it, but I am from the school of thought that you can build affordable homes that look damn good. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And growing up, affordable housing, we thought the projects, yeah, right? It's like, damn, jets, I don't want no hood, affordable housing. It's just the projects. But when you, as a developer, our deal and our goal is to change the narrative. Well, let me not say our because I can't speak for others, but my goal is to change the narrative on what affordability is and what it looks like. Because there's a lot more of us that need affordable housing but don't want to live in the projects. You know what I'm saying? But don't want to live in something that looks like the projects. And so it doesn't cost more money to design something nice, right? You know, 1,400 square foot traditional home, you can build it for the most part as the same as a contemporary modern home.
So, okay, what is like the typical cost of construction for a house?
Man, you can't.
I know it's a range.
Yeah, it's a range, man. Once upon a time, before COVID, we were building houses at $60, $75 a square foot. Now we're, you know, upwards of, you know, $100, $105. I've dealt with some stuff where it's $120 a square foot.
Sheesh.
And so inflation, you know what I mean? Shortage of labor, shortage of material. You know, it's just the nature of the beast. And so we have to make adjustments. And so, again, building affordable homes in this type of marketplace is, in this type of economic environment is difficult, but we get mm-hmm. it done. You know, I get it done, and I'm happy to say I get it done. Awesome. And so I'm taking a page out of these folks from Atlanta's book. I don't know if you guys saw this, the South Park Cottages.
Mm-hmm.
Man, y'all need to get this brother on y'all show, man. I think his name is Booker T. Washington.
Like, get the Booker fuck T. out of Washington.
His name is Booker T. Washington. His name is Booker T. Washington, man. I've been following him for quite some time. I actually went out to the site before they broke ground because I was real interested in it. Mm-hmm. It was a small, probably 2.5-3 acre site in Atlanta. They're doing these, what's called a micro community. Super modern luxe, man, starting at 185, max is 220. Sold out in like 40 days. Brother is giving away a house. That's dynamic. I think he's changing the narrative about what affordable luxury looks like. Mm-hmm. So I like that. So I'm taking a page out of his book, and I think that's what I'm going to do on that 5 acres I mentioned earlier. I want to do, you know, the micro home community, you know what I mean? And really figure out how to offer up.
So when you say micro home, is that the same as a tiny home or is it a little different?
Well, you know, a little different. Tiny homes from a classification perspective is no larger than 400 square feet. So that's what they call a tiny home.
Mm-hmm.
Ours will be a little bigger, But when you think about like your standard living, most people like 1,200 square feet. Mm-hmm. That's what they want. But the reality is most people that live in apartments are staying in something under 900 square feet.
You ain't lying.
And they're comfortable. I know they're comfortable because they're spending $2,500 plus per month staying there. You got to be real comfortable to pay that much for that kind of.
And you're not building no equity.
And you're not building no equity. Yeah. So I'm going to build some really dope modern contemporary micro homes. So that's the game plan. I don't know what I'm going to price them for. They're going to be under, I'd say, under 270. So maybe.
Kind of like condos, but just kind of different.
Kind of different. Okay. Detached. They'll be detached.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's going to be hard.
They are.
So do you own a real estate portfolio? Not portfolio, but do you do rentals as well? I know you more like on the development side, but do you have a rental portfolio as well?
Yeah, so when I started buying property in South Dallas, I sold my entire rental portfolio.
Really?
And that's how bullish I was on it. I wanted to take all my excess capital, buy up as much land as I could.
That's how you know a nigga believe in his dreams, dog.
I did. And so now I'm at the point where, you know, because we've got a change in this interest rate environment, the things that I'm building, I want to hold on to and see, you know, what happens later on, then be able to sell it, you know, have the end buyer paying something a little bit more affordably. But right now, the next 56 or so units, and 56, I know that's very specific, but I have a 36 unit plus another 20 that I'm working on right now. All of those I'm holding on to. So
that's one of the beauties of the real estate game. They give you those options. Like
you can choose your exit strategy.
You can build and buy and hold, or build and you can hold. Have renters pay the mortgage and then sell it to somebody else.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Man, it's so funny watching all of the new PR marketing ideas that people are putting out there, or the concepts that people are putting out there and selling them, like I think what they're calling the Burr method,
buy, rehab, refinance,
and repeat. Yes. I love that they've created this whole marketing behind it, because that's really where the millionaires and the multimillionaires are made, because that's all they're doing, right? They're not, you know, they're not selling anything, so they're not paying any taxes on capital gains because they're just pulling money out. Mm-hmm.
Just recycling.
It's just debt, and it's recycling and going to the next one. So I think I like that. I like the what they're calling house hacking. I like that shit. That shit's dope. Man, many different ways to make money, especially when you are the developer, you own the dirt and you're putting up the structure. Mm-hmm. So can control what happens.
Kind of with development, before we pivot to the next thing I want to get to, I kind of want to talk about the Financially Invincible Challenge.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's something that we got coming up. This episode is going to be dropping in a week from now. So I definitely want people to know that we're doing the Financially Invincible Challenge December 5th through 9th.
Yes,
we're going to be having Scotty educate on how you can get started in the development game.
Yes, sir.
Can you run that resume off for him real quick, man? Because we ain't really say it, but I was wanting to hear it.
Man, businessinabox.net. We're going to say that first. Businessinabox.net. This is the first time in a long time that I'm actually going to be teaching real estate, which is ironic because I love to teach and I love to put people on game and I love to impart my knowledge with, you know, pretty much anybody. So being able to sit in with a group of folks that I genuinely like, you know, with most of the guys that are on the deal, I genuinely like them. I say most, but everybody, I love y'all, man. But I'm going to be talking about real estate development in its purest form, helping you understand how to find land for cheap, how to buy it, how to develop it, how to get your plans together, what banks to use, what lenders to use. I'm going to damn near guarantee after you finish dealing with me and after you listen to what I got, that we'll have some funding lined up for you. I told my lending partner about the challenge and she's excited about being a lending partner for anybody that comes on there. So we're going to be really cooking with this, man. And so where to find the land for cheap, where to get plans drawn and how to do that. Understanding zoning and understanding the permit process, what to build, how to build it, all that type of stuff. I'm gonna be putting it down. I'm gonna be letting folks know. And this isn't just something where I'm just telling you theoretically what's going on or what could happen. This is stuff that I've been doing for a really long time, and that I'm actually doing right now. Like I said, I own about, 48.
At State Farm, we're committed to uplifting Black futures. In collaboration with organizations like 100 Black Men and National Urban League, State Farm provides high school students with the opportunity to learn and apply best practice strategies for saving and investing, all while offering academic support, life skills, and exposure to college access programs to prepare these students for life after high school. Check out 100blackmen.org and nul.org to donate and learn more. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Properties that I'm working on right now at different stages of development. And shit, it's really up from there, man. I think. Hey, man.
Sheesh. I ain't gonna lie. This is gonna be that pressure,
the
dog.
The fact that he gonna have the lenders on tap, man. Yeah. Y'all better stop playing.
Hey, man.
And we coming in on Thursday. What we got for
I was about
day?
To say, on Thursday, we're gonna be teaching you guys how to build your online brand. For everybody who's been listening and tapping in, y'all know we've been doing this for over 4 years now. We've been in the game. We've been able to amass across all social media platforms, almost about 1 million followers. We had about like 750,000 followers on all platforms. We've been able to monetize that, hit multiple six-figure years back to back. Next year, I'm looking. We're going to crack that. Yeah. Next year, we're going to crack that seven. But we're going to teach you guys how you can really understand setting up your brand, how to create your brand style guide. So you understand, okay, these are the fonts that I'm going to be using. This is how I get my color pattern. This is how I'm going to be talking to my audience. A lot of people aren't teaching you things whenever it comes to building a brand, but we're going to teach you some of these things. We're also going to teach you how you can set up a podcast as well. How you can set up a podcast that is sustainable. Not just something that you start and you burnt out after the first 2 weeks or something because people not listening. We're going to teach you what it looks like. And this shit is work. We're going to be 100% honest with you. It's work. So this is not no get rich quick schemes or anything like that. But if you stick with it, the value is there. Between our brand and our podcast, we've been able to get paid for speaking engagements. We don't pay for anything. Flights is paid for, like all of that. So we're going to teach you how we're able to do all of these things. And
hey, I just gotta add this. We're gonna show you how to get it off the muscle, right?
Yeah.
We started off out my boy grandmama back room. We was out here. It wasn't nobody knew us. Nobody knew what we were doing.
Hell no.
And we showed how we, from branding and marketing, we were able to create, as he said, multiple six-figure businesses, speaking engagements across the country, signed to the Revolt Podcast Network. So if you're interested, this is just two of the days, y'all. This is just two of the things you're going to be learning.
I'm telling you, man. We got brothers.
Four other brothers that's going to be a part of this, that's going to be educating y'all. Man. So if you're interested, businessinabox.net.
Hold on, I got to get them the price point too, dog.
Okay, yeah,
this is all for $97.
Yeah.
It's like what? Probably like $5,000 worth of value.
I would probably say more than
that. I say more than that.
Who would say because, bro, more than that, bro?
We got my boy Anthony from the Heart's Eye. He's teaching you how to create
six-figure cleaning business.
Exactly, your cleaning business. We got Tim coming on. Tim is going to be teaching you how to become debt-free, how to start leveraging that, right? We got my guy Henry. Henry owns over 84 doors by himself.
Bro.
He's going to be showing you how you can become a 9-to-5 millionaire by owning real estate.
Yeah, I would place more than $5,000 value,
man,
on that thing, though.
I was just saying, $97 really is still.
Yeah, hey, man. No, it really is, man. Just to be a fly on the wall and be a part of what we got going on, I would place it somewhere around 50, 60 grand worth of knowledge, man. Shit. How much y'all get flown out for not too long ago? Y'all just made $8,000-$9,000. I mean, come on, man. Shit. Just an hour learning that. That's at least worth $8,000. Yeah.
In and out.
Right.
Hell yeah.
So ultimately, man, I encourage anybody that's listening in on this podcast, that's watching us on whatever platform you're watching us, to tap in with us. Don't forget about the VIP stuff, man. Talk about that.
Yeah, we got the VIP too. So We're going to do the first week, and then the second week, we're going to give you where you get an hour session with all of us. I forgot Andre Haynes is going to be a part of this well. Yeah, so like we're all going to be able, you're going to get one-on-one access with us where you can really ask your questions that you might not get answered, and you can get answers value, tailored to your particular situation that you're in. So this is going to be that value. That's going to be $297. So once again, this is a steal. This is not people who bullshitting.
Nope.
People have been doing this for 5+ years, 10+ years, 15+ years. Exactly. Like brothers are doing the work and not just reading a book and spitting some shit out.
Right, you can
see the results.
So Arian, my man, I'm gonna ask you real kindly, if you can, just businessinabox.net. Yeah. Can you do it with my hand, like how I swipe? Like,
He did come in here with the Mr. Rogers thing. He on one day. Business in a box.
Businessinabox.com.
Nah, that's great. I love that.
So, man, just getting back into it. Definitely, man, Scotty, I want to talk about something that I prefaced at the beginning of the episode.
Yeah.
You actually create an opportunity for small dollar investors to get in on
the ground
level of starting a legacy project, right? Building something that's special for the community. The Retreat at Lake Noir, man. This is a beautiful, beautiful community development that you got going on. With about 2 hours outside of Dallas, in between Dallas and Houston, in Oakwood, Texas.
Oakwood, Texas.
We've been out there, man. It was a great time. I love seeing the vision for it.
Yeah.
A 20 tiny home off the grid. Is it solar powered as well?
Yeah, it's going to be solar powered. Yeah, we're going to have solar
sustainable.
Yeah. Sustainable community out here, a retreat for people to kick it, man. I would love to know where that idea came from, and then just we could get into the whole project.
Man, you know, the idea came when I had COVID, bro. Like, I just wanted to be out of the house. I was confined to my room. Mom was like leaving food at the, you know, at the door. And like, yo, food's outside the door calling me. Like, I was like, yo, I want to be outside. And I wanted to be in a place where, you know, I could just be free and just kind of just chill and away from folks. So I bought this land. And originally, you know, it had a house on it. So I was going to redo the house and just use it as hunting. Shoot, man, I started looking at it and looking at the opportunity and saying, okay, what can I do with this to make it cash flow year round? And so I saw a couple of similar concepts around the state, and I was like, you know what? I can do this here. So we built a lake, which we've built that, and we put most of the cabins around there. So we're going to, you know, we've done the pad sites around it, and so 20 of them, man, it's a And I pause for a second, man, because not often do I just stop and like appreciate what I've done, because it's like when I get done with something, it's like on it's to on next. To the next. When I stop and, you know, I don't get a chance to just stop. And so like hearing you talk about it, I'm just like, damn, this is a dope project. It really is an amazing project. And so it's a multi-million dollar project. And I could have did this whole deal on my own, bro. But having the opportunity to bring in our people and bring in folks who wouldn't necessarily be able to participate in something like this, to invest as little as $1,000 to be a part of this, and to take part in the residual income that happens from, you know, rental, you know, and all that stuff. I was like, yeah, we can make this happen. So I said, you know, I talked to my guy Chris down in Houston, and, you know, how'd you do it? And
shout out to Chris in the goal.
Yeah, do you think this is a cool situation? He was like, yeah, you know, and, you know, all that type of stuff. And I'd been trying to do something like this because I was doing a lot of ground up development. And I recognized that there's a missing piece in any development project, and that is there's not a whole bunch of black investors that are involved.
Mm.
And so with the Jobs Act, this allows for us to be a part of a ground up development. And remember what I said earlier, anywhere you look around where there's real estate and buildings, that's because of a developer that came in and said, all right, this is what this is going to look like. And this is how I'm going to make that shake. So with that being said, I was like, okay, as a developer from the ground up, this is what I'm going to make this look like. This is where I want my funding sources to come from. I want a bank. I'm putting my money in. I want my investors to be majority black. or all black if we can get there. And that's what we've been working on, man. And so it's been pretty dynamic. So the fund is open. We reopened it after we closed it in April. After we closed it in April, we did the ceremonial groundbreaking, had folks doing the social media posts, and everybody started hitting me up like, yo, I want to invest. Lady hit me in, and just so happened after that groundbreaking, the person who we did the raise, the platform that we did the raise on, hit me and said, the SEC allowed for an increase because of this whole inflation. They did some type of calculation and said there's an additional amount that you can raise. So I'm like, shit, we're going to raise that. And so we reopened it back up just for that small amount, $262,000. Investors can invest as little as $1,000 into the deal. You know, and so it's a smallchange.co. Look for Lake Noir, the retreat at Lake Noir. See all of the information about it, man. Going on investor tours. The first one is this weekend. Then we got two more in December. I anticipate, honestly, after this weekend that we will have met that goal for that small amount of raise.
So you might miss out on your opportunity.
You might miss out. This. But, yeah. But
that doesn't mean you won't be able to visit.
Yeah.
And I look at it. Again, I think that project is so special because it's something that our people need, right? It's a off the grid. I'm a country boy, man. I come from the country. We from Louisiana. Something where you can kind of go out, disconnect to reconnect, right? Yeah. You go out there, you disconnect from all the hustle and bustle, the crazy stuff. Go outside. You by the lake. You go fishing.
Go fishing. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they got somewhere you go hunt if you into that. I ain't no hunter, man. That ain't my thing. But like you can go and just get away.
Health insurance plans come with deductibles and claims processes that are confusing and expensive. CrowdHealth puts you back in control of your healthcare. Each member gets a personal care advocate and access to thousands of other members ready to help pay for large health expenses. Visit joincrowdhealth.com and use code HEALTH to get your first 3 months for just $99 per month. That's joincrowdhealth.com, code HEALTH. CrowdHealth is not health insurance. It's a totally different way of paying for healthcare. Terms and conditions may apply.
And enjoy yourself. And I mean, it was 20 tiny homes. They got some space between them. You just kind of in your own little zone.
Yeah. No, it's a beautiful setup out there. We got a creek that splits the property. So we built a bridge. So
y'all finally got all of that cleared and stuff?
Yeah. So we cleared the creek, built the bridge across there. So when you go on the other side, there's a bunch of the cabins that'll be sitting up kind of high up and just overlooking everything. So it's beautiful, man. It really is a beautiful sight. I'm excited about.
Hey, everyone. It's Jalen here from the Black Wealth Renaissance podcast. If you're a fan of business podcasts, then be sure to check out and subscribe to the Black Wealth Renaissance podcast, a show that covers business, career development, and tips to increase your income. And the best part, it's brought to you exclusively by the Revolt Podcast Network, anchored in hip hop, powered by creators.
My target for the grand opening is at the end of the first quarter. And so we're going to be, you know, we're going to be going and moving fast. Once this thing closes on the raise, we're going to be rocking and rolling.
Are you planning on doing more of these throughout like the state or going to other states and doing this like that?
Possibly. You know, my goal is to get this proof of concept up and then see how we can make this a nationwide thing, how we can help other people create this type of legacy long term. Maybe like a business in a box type situation.
I ain't gonna lie, I think something like this in Louisiana would be crazy too. Yeah. Like a Sportsman Paradise edition of that. We're gonna have to talk about that.
Yeah.
Like so, I think that would be crazy.
Yeah.
Off of one of our rivers, man. Shit.
Yep.
Ugly ass rivers.
But you ain't got a shit on them.
Hey,
like
man,
that,
I love
man.
Louisiana. I'm a Louisiana boy, but I water brown, bro. I'm just gonna call it what it is. Just
call it what it is. Yeah. You don't want to fish in there.
I'll fish in it. I ain't gonna
lie, you pull out some river monsters.
Right.
Might get a little gate on the side. No big deal. They be chilling, bro. They be chilling. So, Scotty, like with Lake Noir, I know everything's still in the development phase. Have y'all determined like what it's gonna look like for somebody to go out there and actually stay there at this time?
Yeah. So, like I said, our goal is to be done with all of them Q1 of next year, 2023, and so that's when people will be able to start renting them out. So short-term rental, we'll have a booking site up, lakenoir.com. We'll have them probably on all the platforms for, you know, starting off now, mm-hmm. just to get a wide net of people interested. And, you know, when you come out, you book, you know, we're going to have Wi-Fi on there for the folks that want to connect. But the goal is to just unplug and disconnect from the busyness of life. So. Mm-hmm.
And how many people could, would one of the cabins stay? Like,
so our largest cabin sleeps four.
Okay.
The
okay.
smaller one sleeps two. So real intimate. So if you wanted, you know, you and a group of friends, y'all can book,
lady.
You know, y'all can book three of them right next to each other. If it's a couples trip, book the three or four next to each other. Or just an intimate type setting, you and your significant other, you go out there and enjoy it. Each of them will have, you know, a fire pit / barbecue pit, kind of picnic table, set up chairs right outside of it. So you really don't have to leave. And I'm talking about full kitchen, you know, or kitchenette, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So you have your, you know, a little oven and stove top and, you know, sink in the kitchen, you know, bathroom with the shower, running water. So you're not going to be roughing it. Think about it like this: luxury in the woods.
One of the things I also like about this project is what you're doing for the community there as mm-hmm. well.
Yeah.
You're going to be employing people from the community to take care of the site, yeah. you know, to do the cleaning. I know you said y'all working with one of the companies to do the firewood, mm-hmm. everything like that. So yeah. I really love that you're going into the community, but you're also boosting the economy yeah. of that community.
Yeah, exactly. That's the whole thing. And the average income for Oakwood is like $35,000. We're going to be paying our employees more than that, you know, substantially more than that. You know, hopefully, you know, we'll have a laundry list of applications once that opens. But yeah, we want to impact the community in such a positive way that we're welcomed and, you know, we get the buy-in from everybody and all that's around. We want this thing to spread like wildfire across the state. Mm-hmm. And just the fact that we're doing something what I see is so unique because of our style mm-hmm. of our cabins. You know, it just, you know, I'm hoping that people are like, yo, this is dope. But it's only 20 of them. Where are the rest of them? I'm like, hey, man, yeah. just pay attention. There might be another 100 that another pop one up somewhere.
Popping up near
yeah.
you.
yeah, so that's kind of the goal.
Have y'all kind of came up with a price of what it's going to be per night, anything like that?
Anywhere between 150 and 200 a night.
Okay.
That's where we're starting off right now. So it's a little less than what a lot of the other tiny cabin type mm-hmm. situations go for across the state. So we'll see. It might be room for an increase, but modestly speaking, that's where we'll be.
Hey, I know where I'm going to be next 4th of July. That's all I got to say. I'm out there at Lake Noir kicking it. We got the fire pit.
I'm
trying to be there
yeah.
in the cold time.
It's the perfect
time
right now, too. Like, you know, so the cold, you know, this is the perfect time. You know, this is the cuddle weather.
Hell yeah. so. And then you're also going to be able to see like the stars and everything because it's so far out the city. Like, it's going to be a great time, y'all.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So, Scott, I kind of still want to I want to change gears again. Talking about the real estate market now. Mm-hmm. I know recently the Fed, I think it was announced, I'm starting to see a lot of real estate developers or brokers talk about the Fed announced that interest rates are actually falling mm-hmm. right now after the most recent rate hike. So just kind of getting from somebody in the game, what's your opinion and outlook on the industry right now?
Oh, man, it is. It's kind of turbulent, but if you're doing things the right way, you can still win. You can win in real estate in every single market, mm-hmm. right? So as a buyer, right, if you're a savvy buyer and you decided to wait until prices decreased or, you know, until you could have a little bit more flexibility, that's cool. You may pay a little less for your home, but you'll have a larger mortgage mm-hmm. payment right now because rates are high. Mm-hmm. But that's not a bad thing because what goes up
must come down.
So if you can refinance out of a 7.5% interest rate or a 6.9% interest rate, you can't refinance out of a, you know, $100,000 over ask price. You can't refinance out of that.
Yeah.
And so as buyers, think of it that way. As sellers, good luck. Do what you need to do to get people to buy your home. Offer 2-1 buy downs, you know, contributions.
What's a 2-1 buy down?
That is a way for a seller to contribute towards paying down the buyer's interest rate for a couple of years. And so it's just a way to, you know, hey, look, we'll pay for the 2-1 buy down if you're, if your mortgager has that. So there's different ways. From an investor standpoint, it's a little tight on the numbers. So if you're buying properties, holding them for rent, like it's a little tight right now just because rates are higher. Mm-hmm. So you got to do different things. You got to have, you got to make certain that you're buying properly. You're not overpaying like folks were doing, you know, a couple of years low back.
Interest rates. Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
people got used to them 2% interest rates 2%, and started paying
2.5%, 3%,
$100,000 over house. No, crazy. No inspection, no nothing.
Yeah.
No equity either.
No equity either. So real estate in every single market, there's millionaires to be made. No matter what the interest rates are doing, you just buy right, understand what your exit strategy is, and execute that. Fuck everything else. If you stay on what your goal is and what your plan is, you'll do well. Hmm. So ultimately, that's what I encourage people to do. Understand what your investment strategy is versus to folks telling you what you can and can't do in the market. It's like, all right, well, cool. If I can go buy a property that's, you know, $60,000, but I know I'll be able to sell it for $180,000 later, fuck the rates. I'm going to get that $60,000 house. Like, whatever. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to put – the money's more expensive to buy, you know, to buy it, but that's okay. You can refinance out of that at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're going to sell it, shit, you're just going to make a bunch of money. Because, shit, even if you got to do a 2-1 buy down, you know, and you end up netting 170 instead of 180.
That's still a great.
That's still a great spread. So I say look at anything in this real estate market, in this economy, in such a way that it makes sense for your investment portfolio. So that's the greatest advice.
I love
appreciate
it.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I know we're going to have to switch gears and go to our last segments. I know you got to get up out of here. So I'll let David go ahead with his first question.
So, Scotty, got to ask you my favorite question.
What's the favorite question?
What is a personal finance tip or principle that you live by that you like to share with our audience?
A personal finance tip that I love? Shit. Leverage properly. Don't over leverage. And so I know there's a lot of people out there, gurus, that tell you there's bad debt and yada, yada, yada. I don't believe in that. I think if you leverage properly, you'll be very wealthy. You'll be very, very wealthy. Don't over leverage, but leverage properly. So,
okay, I'm going to get to my three questions. First question, are you frugal or are you a flexer?
I'm fiscally responsible.
I like that one. I ain't get that answer yet.
Yeah, I'm fiscally responsible. Hey, man,
they be coming with some damn answers on this question.
Right, right. I don't, if you see me, you've never seen me with a chain for the most part. I got a little small chain, you know.
Hey, you ain't got no Cuban link. I ain't never seen you pop a link.
Yeah. I don't, you know, it's because most of my wealth is tied up in my real estate, right? Don't get me wrong. I do like nice shoes. You know, my grandfather used to say you can tell a lot by a man by his shoes. So you might see me in a plain uniform. I may have jeans, a white T-shirt, a gray T-shirt, or a black T-shirt, pair of thieves. You know, I always rock pair of threes. Them folks going to give me a sponsorship at some point. So I got to make
heard
it.
Heard that, huh?
Yeah, pair of thieves. They're soft, comfortable. But I always have some nice shoes on, man. So, but yeah, I'm fiscally responsible.
That's a bet.
I like that.
My second question is, what are you doing to leave a legacy for your kids with, you know, the real estate and everything? How are you going to pass this down?
So I set my kids up. So my kids are trust fund babies.
Like, black trust fund
black
babies.
Trust
fund
we love
babies.
It.
So I set up a trust. Everything is held in that trust. I mean, literally everything. And so my daughter, my oldest child is 13, and she knows where the trust documents are. If anything ever happens to me, all you got to do is go here. You got this information. It's right there. It's the directives of everything. It tells you where everything goes. I just recently finished a book, What Would the Rockefellers Do? it talks about the Rockefeller Trust and the whole infinite banking situation. So there's some concepts in there that I might implement into my trust as I go through my end of the year adjustments for it. But that's how I'm setting them up, man. My kids ain't gonna have to worry about a goddamn thing. So I'm gonna set them up to where they can live their purpose. They don't have to scramble or work and do something they don't want to do just for money. So that's how I'm, but my grandkids are also gonna be like that as well.
That's what's up, man. I love
the Smith legacy.
The Smith legacy, right? Yeah,
that shit hard. My last question, which I'm pretty sure this is a yes. Do you have life insurance?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I've had life insurance. I got life insurance the day after my daughter was born. That was my first thing that I did. Matter of fact, I want to say she was born. I went and hollered at my boy. Like, they were asleep. And I was like, all right, let's set this shit up because – you know, I was young. Shit was like $25. So I'm like, oh, let me get that. There's some new policies that I'm going to implement again. That's part of my year end, you know, adjustment. So, yeah. Life insurance, man. Shit. You insure everything else. We got insurance on these damn phones.
I'm telling you.
You don't have life insurance, man, and you got kids or a family that you love, you crazy. Like,
if you die and their income start coming, what they going to do?
Man.
Y'all already know how I feel about that damn fish fry. Hell, I see one more GoFundMe link, one more fish fry, one more. Oh man, look, I'm sorry to you.
Cut it.
We need you to handle your business. And if you want to learn more about life insurance, make sure you come back next week.
We're
gonna have some game for y'all on the next episode with the life insurance.
Yeah, one of our boys on the business in the box is gonna be talking about that.
Well, Mr. Smith, man. I gotta say, thank you so much for coming and grace the BWR podcast. I said long overdue. Definitely glad to have you.
Appreciate
join us.
Y'all having me, man. For real.
No problem, man. This was a fun time.
Definitely. So before we let you go, I would love for you to just let the people know where they can follow you. If they want to get involved with
the retreat at Lake Noir.
If it's not too late.
Yeah.
How can they do that?
And they can still just follow the page.
Yeah,
that
you can get tapped in with.
So follow the page, Lake Noir, LakeNoire, Lake Noir. You can follow that. Then follow me, of course, Scotty L. Smith, Scotty with an IE, Scotty Smith on all the platforms, on everything. I'm easy to find. I'm the guy smiling with the Happy Holic shirt. So yeah, man, peace and blessings, family. I appreciate y'all having me on, man. Thank you.
No problem, my brother. So before we get up out of here, we're going to get into some house cleaning. I want to say thank you to all our listeners who come in, week out. Thank y'all so much. Let's see if we got us a new rating,
man,
we can
read
off,
man. We finally hit 1,000 ratings, man. I'm so happy about that, bro. We hit the 1,000 rating mark, man. I was super ecstatic. Y'all make sure y'all please keep leaving those ratings and reviews. It helps us grow the show. Preferably 5-star rating and review. Y'all make sure that you're spreading this with people who can benefit from this information. This is why we do what we do with Black Wealth Renaissance. As they always say, you want to hide some information from black people, put it in a book, or maybe put it on a podcast, because some of y'all think podcasts, well, not people listening to this, but it's a lot of people think podcasts is just us talking about
relationships, men versus women, all of that other bullshit.
But we're having conversations that you can use to actionably benefit your life. So if you know somebody that may be out just saying, hey, man, black podcast is the worst thing to happen to black people, share this one with them.
Yeah, man.
Let them get some game. And let them, don't just tell them, oh, man, you tripping. Give them a little something. And that's what we here for.
Sprinkle that knowledge on them. I do see we have one from Eto B. Incredible content conveyed in a relatable and down-to-earth way. We'll definitely be sharing. So appreciate you so much. Thank you for tapping in.
Thank you for sharing.
Follow their example. Also, if you're on YouTube, hit that little notification bell. Subscribe. We are growing our channel. As y'all can tell, we've been invested in making sure our production is nice and tight. Shout out to my boy Arian on the boards.
We gonna
making
get him
sure
a drop
that we
one
good.
Of these,
yeah,
yeah,
man.
I
he's
want always... to sound like Giveon.
Arian. But man, I just want to say once again, thank y'all. Y'all make sure y'all tap into the Financially Invincible Challenge. Financially Invincible Challenge. Click that link below. Businessinabox.net. We're going to see y'all December 5th through the 9th. We lit.
Yes, sir. And until next time, this is Black Wealth Renaissance signing out. Peace.
Hey there. Ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front room. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.